You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, it's good to be back in the pulpit, and I've had a great time this past week going to meetings and rubbing shoulders with some very fine people and people who are interested in the Constitution and issues related to the Republic. Man, am I getting fired up! And I'm really excited about these people and the issues at hand. And boy, are there some massive issues. I'm really excited about some of the things that are put in the newsletter as well. Look at this, right on the back page. America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. You know, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, around about verse 30 or 36, round about in there, the Lord says words to this effect, that your foes shall be those of your own household. You know? And of course, he's talking about the nation of Israel in the time of the end. And, you know, there are some direct parallels. Some of the speakers at the previous talks we went to just recently, they were talking about how there's nice parallels between the kind of freedoms that we enjoy in America and what Israel had prior to the election of kings, and then pointed out the fact that we are kings. You know, that's the place that we should have under the Constitution. But there's a lot of exciting things and lots of things that we should be thankful for, but also challenges that we need to reach. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for our time together. Lord, as we open the scriptures, read and believe the holy word of God, rightly divide this tremendous book that thou hast preserved for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're up to chapter 7, I've entitled this The Present Necessity. And just to look at some of the things we have looked at, this word remain comes up. Remain. And we find that there's an idea here that how these people were to be found, that is in Christ, that state that they were in, they were to remain in. And this idea is repeated and enlarged and put into various different contexts with a few embellishments here and there, but the idea is taken through, and Paul is just, he's masterful with how he writes. And so we finished off last time, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So that's an interesting statement, isn't it? And that's interesting because we find that during the book of Acts, if you look at the Bible rightly divided, then you find that you find ages going by. There are ages in the scriptures, and there's no point trying to deny it. You just need to believe it and then ask yourself some questions. Well, what age am I in? And you can really understand this only by putting the Bible into order. And one of the interesting things about the book of Acts, it's like a skeleton. The book of Acts is like this skeleton up onto which you place the various epistles, Acts epistles of Paul. So during the time of the book of Acts,
you find that it was Jew first. And Paul then, during this time when Jew was first and the nation of Israel is given the advantage, he writes a number of epistles, one of which we are now reading. And we are reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And in that context, he talks about if you were called being a Jew, then you remain a Jew. If you are called being a Gentile, then you remain a Gentile. And you can't deny it. It's there in black and white. That's what it is. Now, your problem then is this. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to try and take that context and rip it into our age? Is that what you're going to do? Because if you do that, you're going to have illogical statements, incorrect doctrine, and there's going to be a lot of mishmash and fighting going on because of that. It won't work. How do I know it won't work? Well, because we know that Paul wrote another epistle, actually seven more, but this one here, the book of Ephesians, if you read that book, what do you find? Well, you find a new unity made, created. It did not evolve out of the book of Acts. It was created. And here in chapter 2 and verse 14, he talks about the middle wall of partition being broken down and that the twain being made one. No, when you see this calling and you're part of this calling and you react and you accept the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ, then you're placed into this body and you understand a new unity. And if a Jew sees this truth or a Gentile sees this truth, both of them become part of something new. They don't remain Gentiles, they don't remain Jews, they become something new in Christ. Now, there is a newness here, yes, but there remains the national distinctions here. The national distinctions remain in this time of the book of Acts. It is Jew first. Israel still has the advantage. Over here, no, no advantage. Therefore, we are not going to try and put things together that God has made separate, and when he puts something together, we're not going to separate them. Right? That's as simple as it gets.
And I think there's a lot of truth in this that perhaps people who have never studied the book of 1 Corinthians in this light will see. There is the matter of timing in here. Timing in the Bible is so critical. And in chapter 7, verse 26, which we'll be reading soon, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. That word distress, it means necessity. In other words, there were certain necessities that came on this particular congregation and other congregations. Because remember, Paul says that he preached these things throughout all the churches. That is, all the churches, all the assemblies that he ministered to. And he preached these things. And so these things were necessities. Yes. The question we need to ask ourselves, are these the necessities for our age, after which a great judgment came on Israel at Acts 28:28? Are those necessities now ours? Or must we, like anything else, leave things in their context and not try and import into our age things that do not belong? And man, we're just reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and all of a sudden there are massive issues. Massive issues. Things to do with marriage, for example. These are mighty and important issues, and they can only truly be solved if you rightly divide the word of truth. Wow, that's an amazing thing. So what you find is that there is extension made right through here. Notice in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Gulp. Well, now we understand what he's talking about.
Some people will say, well, you know, that's you're contradicting Galatians 3:28, because right here in the same time it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Yeah, that relates to salvation. The salvation of God comes to Jew and Gentile alike. That's why it says, there's neither male nor female. Let me ask you another question. Were there no men or women here? Well, obviously there were, right? And in other settings, there are direct injunctions for men and for women, and they're different. So you cannot use this passage here, then, to try and bring out some sort of contradiction to what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 7, that they are to abide in the calling in which they were called. Right? It's still there. It cannot be nullified by this.
Well, this is the picture that I made about that very point, that nationally they were made and called and kept separate during the book of Acts, although they were one in Christ. What about today? 2:14, for he is our peace, who have made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. One new man. The Jews, during the book of Acts, they were to remain Jews. Their callings related to a woman. They were the wife. They were to be the bride. Later on, those that would overcome, part of the bride. But what is this? This is a new man. Why, a totally different metaphor being used here. Different. Different. We're not going to try and make things that are different the same. And now we're coming to something else which is kind of interesting, which relates to this marriage business, which we'll get into. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And let's begin reading here at verse 21. Verse 21, it says this, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. That is, do not be worried about it. Don't be anxious about it. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, that is, what that word there means, where it says mast, it means, but if you're able to be made free, use it. Use it. And when it says rather, what that word rather means here is exceedingly. Use it more and more. So the idea here is not this. Oh, the Bible is happy that someone is a slave. No, it's not saying that, is it? It's not saying, oh, slavery is good. The founding fathers never believed that slavery was good. They put things in motion so that it could be taken out. Here, it says, but if thou mayest be able to be made free, that's what it means, then use that more and more in the service of Christ. If you are a slave, then you can be working for that man that's over you and do things as unto the Lord. You can do that. Everything changes once you become a Christian. Once you're saved, even though you have that lowly position as a slave, what tremendous influence you as a slave could have on a master. You say, oh man, really? You know, there are some things that happen in history that would really change you. During the Second World War, this really happened. There were some men who were put in a Japanese concentration camp. And let me tell you, man, the Japanese did some cruel, cruel things in these places. Really cruel. In this concentration camp, there was a mixture of nationalities. And some Christians got together with those who had a more philosophical bent, and they started studying and they started looking at things, and especially the influence of the Christian writers began to be promoted. And the philosophy of
looking out for people and putting other people first and giving a good testimony by your works started to happen. These people were used to put down a railway, a massive railway, and they were whipped into submission doing it. And as this philosophy came over, and as they could see that there was just no way of escaping, they decided that they would change how they would work as slaves, because that's what they were. And instead of just doing a small amount of work with reluctance each day, they made it their job to do more work each day. And when they would see one of their guards trip or fall over or hurt themselves, they would gather around him and help him. And the guards would look at this and think, what's going on here? And they were just absolutely amazed. And in the end, there was this great transformation that took place amongst the Japanese guards. They just began to change. They started to move away from this austere sort of position that they held. Why am I telling you this? I'm saying this because I know that some people who can only see the evil of slavery and be dissatisfied with the Bible, that it didn't say, slavery is evil! You should have nothing to do with it! You know, they're dissatisfied with what the Bible is saying here. But if you read it, it is not saying that slavery is right, but it's saying, look, if you are able, as it says here, if you are able to be made free, then in that new state of freeness, use it more and more. That is your freedom. Use your freedom more and more. Well, I can talk more about this, but it is interesting to get this in its right context. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So this is quite symmetrical in a way. Look how he goes. First of all, you've got the servant who is called in the Lord. And then he becomes the Lord's free man. The Lord's free man. Yeah. But what does that really mean? That means he is the Lord's free man in the sense that he was over here the slave to a man, right? Now he's the Lord's free man in the sense he's no longer slave to this man, but he's slave to the Lord, right? And then what happens next is he says this, likewise also he that is called being free. Okay, so now this person who is not the slave is as such free from being slave to a man, is now, once he's saved, is Christ's servant. Can you see that in both clauses, the same idea is being expressed with two different emphases? And it's a beautiful thing that, yes, see when it says in verse 23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. So whatever state you're in, okay, when you are called from the Lord and you receive that calling and you're saved, then all things become new because now you're not truly the slave of a man to sin and so on, but now you've been renewed and you're free to be the servant of Christ and have an effect on people, even a slave. Yes, a slave can have an effect on people. Let me just show you some passages in the book of Romans, because this is a parallel idea. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. See, be a slave to sin. So you're made free by the work of Christ. Then if you go on down to verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants, here, slaves again, of righteousness. And then verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God. These are slaves. He's slave to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Here it is, again, the same parallel going on. Yes, we're all slaves. People say, hey, you Christians, you're just slaves. You're just slaves. Yeah, we're slaves to Christ. And we have an effect in our life. You're a slave too. You just don't want to admit it or you don't actually know it. But you're a slave as well. And you're a slave to all sorts of things. You're a slave to the world. You're a slave to men. You're a slave to ideology. You're a slave to booze. You're a slave to this, that, or the other. Don't come to me saying that I am a slave because I've been set free and my master is my friend. You got a master like that? Well, it's a pretty different master. Okay, let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 before I lose my salvation. Which I don't believe you can. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 says this. In verse 23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, when I pondered this passage, I thought, oh, Paul, you must have been inspired. You can only be inspired to be able to write like this. See what he's done here? He says, let every man, this is like a summary passage of what he's just said. Brethren, let every man, wherein is he called, therein abide with God. And that is just an absolute summary of the point that we are making here. So he doesn't therein abide simply as a slave to the man. Yeah, you've been called, say, as a slave, but then you abide with God. And your true master then is the Lord Christ. And he goes on, now concerning, oh, before I go on, let's face it, sometimes there's going to be problems, right? There's going to be problems when the slave is going to be asked to do something that he knows is absolutely wrong. Okay, then the slave has to take the consequences, right? And he's going to have to say, no, can't do that, master. I cannot do that because that is not what God would have me do. That is immoral. That is a wicked action because of these reasons. And it may be that he's going to have to take the punishment, right? Same with us. What practical application? Well, we're not slaves like they were slaves. But hey, we can be put in position in life where we're stuck in a corner. You know, you can't find a job. And then you get this job and you're stuck in it because there's no other job for you at the moment. But you need to make money to support your family, right? And you're stuck there, right? So some of these principles will work. Some of these principles we can take from here and we can apply them. This idea that, okay, I don't like this job, but I'm going to do the best I can at it, and I'm going to give a good testimony while I'm here, and I'm going to make a good influence on people around me while I'm doing the job that I don't really like, but at least it's giving me some money to get my family through, put some food on the table, right? So there are some practical kind of applications we can see from this. And it says in verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. I've talked about this passage. Yet I give my judgment. Is his inspired opinion as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Isn't that interesting that he talks like this? He doesn't say, oh, look, as one that is an absolute good example for my own strong willpower, I am the way I am. He doesn't talk like that. He says, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord. You know, that's how he addresses this, to be faithful. What about this here? I have no commandment of the Lord. That's right. So there's two ways in which inspiration comes. One is where he gets direct statements and commandments from the Lord. He talks about this, that through the abundance of revelations, he's got this thorn in the flesh. Okay, that's one way. But there's also another way where he simply writes by inspiration and gives an inspired opinion, as he says here. And he says, verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good. This is good for the present distress. Here's a thought. Is it good for a different age? This is good for the present necessity that's coming on them right there and then. But would it be good if that age ended and new instruction came, and we're going to take these statements by Paul and put it on people today? Would that be good? My friends, that would not be good. That would be bad. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Now, he's talking about these issues that the Corinthians raised. The Corinthians raised issues, and Paul now is addressing them. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Okay? Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Okay, that's good. So it's not a sin. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Okay, so now we understand who he's talking to concerning this word virgin. Because the word virgin can be used for a male. Also, in Revelation 14, it's used for a male. But here we know what he's talking about. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. Well, hold the phone. I thought the whole idea for them getting together is to get rid of the trouble in the flesh. Wasn't that one of the reasons to stop fornication? Isn't that what one of the reasons for coming together in marriage? But now he's saying, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. You see, this relates to the current necessities. The fact is that the time was short. The fact is that Antichrist is on his way. The fact is that the points to do with the end of the age were going to come on them. And that there was the time when those that would give suck, woe to them that would give suck in those days. You see, problems to do with having a family. And then he says, but I spare you. That's why he's writing this. I am attempting to spare you from these things. And he goes on, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. As I pointed out to you before, man, yeah, it's good for these current necessities, because the time was short, because of the actions of what was going on in the book of Acts, because there was the repentance of Israel waited for. But as time went by, Israel said no to God, and God said no to them, and the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles. Yes, it's good for then, right? It's good for then. That age is now put off. Something else was created, and we got new instructions, man. New instructions. Rock and roll, man. You need to get those instructions. And the only way you're going to get those instructions is if you rightly divide the word of truth and understand Paul's prison books, his prison ministry. Man, oh man. Well, we'll continue this next time. But there's a lot in here, my friends. There's a lot of meat in here. I wish someone had showed me these things. And we're so thankful, Seppi and I, that, you know, we're given the opportunity to write these things. For example, we now have 18 written articles on the book of 1 Corinthians. In addition to that, we have 18 videos on it. We have the notes. We have the PowerPoint. We've got all this going out. We've got the audio. We've got the video. People can get this. And people need to get this. And we're going to be active in this ministry. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the time we've had. We ask, Lord, You to bless this ministry in terms of getting people to know the truth, because we know the truth will always set people free. We thank Thee for Christ our Lord, who gave His life a ransom for many. We ask, Lord, that we would be used of Thee to show these truths to as many as we can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.